Hello and welcome to the commentary for Lesson 265. This is Psalm 89. So this one is written by Ethan, the Ezrahite, and he was also one of the magicians that served the king. And according to gotquestions.org, it says that Ethan was, the Ezrahite, is a songwriter, author of Psalm 89, but that in addition to Psalm 89, he is mentioned in 1 Kings chapter 4, 31, as a wise man, yet not as wise as King Solomon, who was wiser than anyone else, including Ethan the Ezrahite. 1 Chronicles 2, verse 6 gives the added information that Ethan had four brothers and was the son of Zerah, and that he was also of the tribe of Levi. So he was a Levite. Okay. So this one's much happier, right? Leaves us with a better feeling, definitely, than Psalm 88 did. So that's nice. Sort of the other end of the coin as it starts, and then we see that it gets a little darker. But basically, you know, Ethan is... Verse 1, I will sing of the Lord's unfailing love forever. Young and old will hear of your faithfulness. He's in awe of God. He is basically retelling the story of the covenant that God made with David. And he's reminding God of this covenant. And he kind of goes through the whole thing. He says, all heaven will praise your great wonders, Lord. He says, even the angels look up to you. You are above everything. You are faithful. You are mighty. No one is as mighty as you, God. You rule the oceans. So you created the north and south and the mountains. Powerful is your arm, strong as your hand. So he's praising God. And then he says... I love this. Verse 17 and 24 are really about strength. You are their glorious strength. It pleases you to make us strong. It pleases God to make us strong. And then 24, my faithfulness and unfailing love will be with him. This is what he's saying. This is what God said about David. And by my authority, he will grow in power. By God's authority, David will grow in power. So, of course, our strength comes from the Lord. And these two verses just point that out. And it reminds me of Philippians 4, verse 13, which says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So we see that consistently through the Old Testament scripture. And we can be sure of that in our lives as well. Anything that we do really well, we should thank the Lord for, because it is through him that he enables us to do great things. It's certainly not us. Verse 27, according to my study Bible, when it says, it's interesting how the scripture goes into what seems to be more about Jesus, right? And we see that throughout Psalms, but it's interesting that, you know, David didn't write this one, Ethan, but he was a seer also. So it says in verse 27, I will make him my firstborn son, the mightiest king on earth. Well, that seems to refer to Jesus, right? I will love, but it's the way it's laid out in this text, it sounds like he's talking about David. But remember, there's always sort of that duality of meaning with David's life and Jesus' life. Scripture that's written about both of them could, you know. But let me back up a little bit in verse 19 and 20. This is what Ethan says about God's covenant to David. Long ago you spoke in a vision to your faithful people. You said, I have raised up a warrior. I have selected him from the common people to be king. I have found my servant David. And then God, he goes on to say how God told his people that David's enemies would not be defeated, nor will the wicked overpower him. I will beat down his adversaries before him and destroy those who hate him. I will extend his rule. This is where it starts to seem to change, right? Verses 25 through 29. I will extend his rule over the seas, his dominion over the rivers. David didn't rule the seas or the rivers. But we do know that Jesus calmed a storm. He controlled the waters. So this seems to be where he's no longer talking about David, but now he's talking about Jesus. Verse 26, and he will call out to me, you are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. I will make him my firstborn son, the mightiest king of earth. I will love him and be kind to him forever. My covenant with him will never end. I will preserve an heir for him. Now it seems he's talking about David again, because the heir would be Jesus, right? I will preserve an heir for him. His throne will be as endless as the days of heaven. Jesus would be the heir whose throne will be endless as the days of heaven, right? So it's an interesting kind of interwoven scripture between David and Jesus, which often that's the case with the Psalms. But interesting that Ethan is able to write in that way, and not just David. So verse 32 says, then I will punish their sins with the rod and their disobedience with beating. This is basically God saying, I will preserve this heir, the throne will not end, but if his descendants, meaning David's descendants, forsake my instruction and fail to obey my regulation, if they do not obey my decrees and fail to keep my commands, I will punish their sin with a rod and their disobedience with beating. Man. Of course, he doesn't mean that literally. It's sort of like in Psalm 88 when it says, your anger weighs me down, with wave after wave you have engulfed me. It's not actual beating, but it feels like you're being beat up like the waves of the ocean, right? Because torment just comes and comes and comes. But, so God is saying basically in this covenant to David that I will preserve this, I promise this, but if you need punishment, you will get it. I will discipline you as necessary. However, this is a covenant, which means it's a promise from God, and we know that God does not lie. Verse 33, but I will never stop loving him nor fail to keep my promise to him. No, I will not break my covenant. I will not take back a single word I said. I have sworn an oath to David, and in my holiness I cannot lie. His dynasty will go on forever. Right? His kingdom will endure as the sun. It will be as eternal as the moon, my faithful witness in the sky. You know what I liked about that verse? Because it talks in verse 36, his dynasty will go on forever. His kingdom will endure as the sun, S-U-N. So what I loved about that is scientists, you know, I see all these nerd shows about how, we're in danger and the sun could explode and what would happen if the sun exploded and what would happen to all. And here we see in scripture, and we know that God can't lie, that David's dynasty will go on forever, just as the sun will go on forever. So, if you ever had nightmares that the sun was going to explode, now we know that it won't. It will be as eternal as the moon, so neither will the moon, right? And it's interesting that he calls the moon his faithful witness in the sky, which is the only light when it's dark. So that's interesting. Let's refer... In regard to that scripture, I want to refer to Hebrews 6, verses 16 through 18. This is about God's promises. Okay, we know that he made that covenant to David. We know he made a covenant to Abraham, and it took a long time, right? But God's promises do come true. So verse 15, Hebrews 6:15 says, then Abraham waited patiently and he received what God had promised. And of course, that would be that he would multiply his descendants beyond number. Okay, verse 16. Now, when people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold them to it. And without any question, that oath is binding. God also bound himself with an oath. If you hear that in the background, I'm so sorry. My cat is playing with a Super Bowl. She's crazy. Anyways, verse 17. God also bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. So it is impossible for God to lie. He made a covenant with us today. We are his people. The covenant is that Jesus Christ took the punishment for our sin so that all who believe will have everlasting life. John 3:16. Right? So we can be sure that God keeps his promises. And basically through the scripture, even though, you know, he goes through all the amazing things God did, he reminds God of the covenant that he made with David. And then he goes into verses 38 through 45 and a little bit past that, he's basically saying, so with this covenant, when you take into consideration, God, how wonderful you are and the covenant you made with David, why have you rejected him now and cast him off? So why is David being punished by God? You know, he was the one you promised that he would have descendants, that you would bring him an heir, that you made this covenant with him. What's going on, God? And so he's kind of reminding God. Of course, God doesn't need reminding, but we can always bring up what God says and pray it back to him. So that's not surprising that he did that. Verse 46, O Lord, how long will this go on? Will you hide yourself forever? How long will your anger burn like fire? So he's asking for help. He doesn't know why God has turned on David. Or maybe why he has allowed it to happen. Maybe he knows why, but he's wondering, you know, how long is this going to happen? How long will you turn your back? And don't forget your covenant, Lord, basically. Where is your unfailing love? You promised it to David with a faithful pledge. Consider, Lord, how your servants are disgraced. He's making his case to God. I carry in my heart the insults of so many people. So he's one of those that served close to David, and he felt, the disgrace that it's sort of like when a husband feels his wife's pain, like in pregnancy, kind of a weird thing that they feel it too because they love, because a man loves his wife. And so, anyways, I don't know if that's real, but this sort of reminds me of that because, Ethan seems, you can tell that he must be close to David because he feels the pain that David feels. He feels the frustration that David feels. And you know that he's probably, as David is running for his life, that he's probably one of those that's with him. And David was always insulted by others. And so he says he feels that too. He was insulted as well. I carry in my heart the insults of so many people. Your enemies have mocked me, O Lord. They mock your anointed king wherever he goes. There, I was kind of confused because I thought, okay, who wrote this, David or Ethan? Because it seems like he's talking about himself in the third person when you get to this line. But I don't know why that is, but definitely this psalm is attributed to Ethan. And then he ends, even though they feel that God is punishing them and times are tough at the moment, he ends with praise. Praise the Lord forever. Amen and amen. So I love that. So really, Ethan, basically, he praises God for his covenant with David in verses 1 through 4. I'm reading this from Got Questions, just to summarize. And then he honors God's character and power in verses 5 through 18. He's recording God's own words in a vision in verses 19 through 37. And then Ethan details God's faithfulness to David and his descendants. Then he expresses lament, which is sadness, at the deep sadness at the king's defeat in verses 38 through 45. And he asks God to remember the covenant in verses 46 through 52. And we love, of course, that he ends with praise be to the Lord forever. Amen and amen. So even times in suffering and struggle, this writer, this psalmist, calls God's people to bless the Lord and call upon his strength in time of need. So you gotta love that. So this is a much different sentiment than the last psalm. It's a nice change. I love it. Kind of tells you, just get an inside look at what was going on as David was probably running for his life at that time. So that's really it for today. I hope you all have a great day. I will talk to you soon.